The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, peteevans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Paul, thank you so much for joining us once again, brother. How are you?
I'm great. Nice to see you. Nice to be with you.
It's always a pleasure connecting with you, whether it's in person or on the other side of the world. What are you drinking, by the way?
That's a cup of Tulsi Moringa with Buddha Pure Mind, two tea bags in one cup.
Is this a daily one, or is this you mix it up?
That's fairly consistent for me. I find the Buddha Pure Mind really has a very nice clearing effect on my head, and the Tulsi Moringa has a nice energizing effect. So I kind of, just like I do with my smokes, I play around with teas and, you know, all sorts of stuff, and just find out what works good for me. And then I know what to use like a tool when I need a certain effect. I know this and this go together really well.
I love it. I find the tea is very grounding for me too. My wife, Nick, who you haven't met yet, but hopefully one day we'll get to cross paths together. She does.
Yeah.
She serves a beautiful tea ceremony, and it's one of the greatest gifts that I can receive from her. And it's just such a beautiful practice. And you were just mentioning before we hopped on that you get up early and go through certain practices each and every day. Do you want to give us a small overview of these?
Yeah, I over the, you know, I did Tai Chi daily for probably 18 years. And I also did various other types of meditation along with it. I did a year of Egyptian sun gazing quite often with the sunrise and the sunset while I was a vegetarian, just because my soul guided me to doing that, which I found profound. I had just amazing, beautiful, powerful experiences doing that. But typically in the morning, what I do is I have sculptures of people like the Dalai Lama, Chief Joseph of the Nez Perce Indians, Albert Einstein. I've got Native American Indian dolls that I use as symbols to connect to the sun and to the medicine man, which is sort of the principle of all the medicine men in the world. And then I have one that's, he's the chief of ceremonies, which I connect to for just helping him, asking him for help with my responsibilities as a chief. And I have a whole ritual. You know, I basically go through a series of prayers, and I have my mandala that I paint every year, and I've got them all on the wall over there for many years. So I connect to my soul and my power animals and spirit guides and talk to them and see what I need to know to be the best me for the day. And so I have a whole ritual that I go to different points in my office where I have sculptures or pictures of people like Gene Gebser, Houston Smith, Itzhak Bentov, Arthur M. Young, people whose lives have really impacted mine and touched mine. And so I connect to them through spirit and blow smoke to them and thank them for the wisdom and the guidance. And then after I do that, I will typically read something for my spiritual evolution. Right now, I'm reading a phenomenal translation of the Bhagavad Gita by a Sanskrit expert, Jeffrey Armstrong, who retranslated it. So it's much more accurate. And I was just called to that because of what's going on in the world right now. And so I thought it's time to read the Bhagavad Gita again. And his translation's amazing. So then I get into whatever research I'm doing for projects, be they videos or podcasts or whatever. And then so by the time the kids show up with Angie around 7, and I also forgot that I start by heating up the kettle and the espresso machine, and then I make myself my own custom dark roasted beans with butter and celebrate that I'm a great barista every morning.
Of course. You mentioned the word before, chief. And
yeah.
And you mentioned others that are chiefs and yourself as being a chief. I'd love your definition of this and how is this playing out for you personally with what you just mentioned, with what's going on in the world at the moment. And as a chief, do you feel more responsibility, or is it exactly the same as it was prior to what's going on in the world at the moment?
No, it's the same. It's just that the intensity is higher because there's so many people that are freaked out, you know, and it also is deeply concerning to me. There's, I think, 3 counties in California where they've gone in and started going door to door. And if children aren't vaccinated, they're force vaccinating them. And then if the parents resist, they throw the parents in jail and take the kids into protective custody. And some of the parents have been fined $30,000. And so I have absolutely zero interest in anyone vaccinating my children because I know way too much about what that's all about and what's in them crazy ass things. So, you know, the girls and I have been like really being very vigilant about keeping an eye on our kids and not letting them get too far from us. And there's just a lot of, you know, there's also, we've had many people in the Czech Institute's student base have family members die often very quickly after having their COVID vaccination. You know, they just usually get heart attacks and die, or strokes, or any number of things. I mean, I can't even tell you how many people have died. Many of them have had animals die. The family members go get vaccinated, come home, within a few days the animals die because they're getting vaccine shedding, so it's killing their animals. And we've actually watched clients, and even Angie's mother, unfortunately, went and got vaccinated, and within days her dog swelled up so much it looked like it was going to die. It looked like a balloon with a couple of little legs sticking out of it. And so I think for me, I'm just doing my work because so many people, so many people's lives are intersecting with mine. You know, there's a quantum entanglement in that relationship. And so because of my own spiritual practices for so many years, I'm very sensitive to people, especially people that I know. so I can feel what's going on in them. And I have to be able to have those sensibilities, because when I'm doing healing work with plant medicines, I have to stay very connected to the person's psyche. So all those years of development have left me quite like a highly tuned antenna, and I can feel the buzz of the whole collective throughout the world. So I find that anchoring myself, and there's a whole circle of chiefs in the astral dimension that I connect to. And, you know, right here I have a chief's headdress, which is sort of my symbol to connect to all the great chiefs that have ever lived. And so the practice for me is just to get guidance from wise chiefs that have already been here and been through a lot of, you know, really hard times, that kind of know how to navigate these things. And so I use my practice to sort of center myself and ground myself, because so many people are connected to me and they lean on me for support. So since this whole thing's just gotten crazier and crazier, it's just the number of traumas and people that are just scared to death, or, you know, just kind of losing it, you know. And I've watched a lot of people gain a lot of weight and kind of regress back into alcohol and drugs and all sorts of stuff. So I just feel a lot of responsibility to stay in the center and use my spiritual resources to help me be a positive influence on people and try to support them in this transition period.
I remember interviewing you in person, actually, at your property. I'm pretty sure it was January last year, so just before the, or maybe November the year prior, but it was just within months of what we're experiencing now. And did you have any inkling prior to this, the last 18 months, that something like this could manifest in our lifetime?
Well, yes. I've been following Bill Gates for a long time and keeping an eye on him for good reason. And just also coming from a background of advanced electronics in the military, and having done a lot of research in radionics and a lot of the advanced electronic technologies that were invented in the late 30s, early 40s, and knowing that the government confiscated them, and having a knowledge of what's possible using electronic technologies and interfacing with human frequencies. The day they announced this thing, I said to both the girls, I said, this is the greatest scam that's ever hit human beings. We're now entering into an invisible third world war. And I have no idea how this is going to turn out, but there's a lot of serious corruption and manipulation going on. And I knew that on day one, and everything that I suspected now has turned out to be true. I've got piles and piles of, I spent over 600 hours researching what's going on, and you know, the contents of these vaccines and everything involved in it. And every single thing that I suspected was going to happen is happening. So I didn't realize until I started investigating what was inside these things. And when I started seeing people sticking magnets to them, then I knew exactly what they were doing. And then Angie went out and bought a bunch of magnets, and we've now stuck magnets to too many people to count, you know, and spoons and forks and everything else. So I knew they were using an electronic interface. And I also knew something, there was a rat in the house, because during the first, right when they initiated the lockdowns, they were putting 5G, when all the schools were shut, they were putting 5G towers in every single school, elementary school, kindergarten, high school. They were just putting 5G towers up like crazy everywhere. And so when you start seeing magnets sticking to people and all these 5G towers going up, you don't need to have too much common sense to put two and two together, especially with my technical background. And so, you know, knowing already that iPhones are tracking devices and knowing about Bill Gates's technologies and patents and how that creature's mind works, I smelled it, you know, and I was right. And I know I've now got the evidence to know exactly what's going on.
With all of your work that you've done over the years, and you mentioned plant medicines and the spiritual practices that you partake in and many others do, there is the understanding that we co-create and manifest this reality.
Yeah.
Individually and collectively.
Yeah.
So how did we get here with what is collectively happening globally, yet there's people like yourself and others that have done deep, 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 deep work? And I know it's a difficult question to answer, but for me,
no, it isn't.
go for it. Take us on the journey of manifestation collectively and also individually.
Well, it's a fairly complex reality, but we're all part of the collective, and the collective unconscious is much, much, much more powerful than the collective conscious. In other words, if you take all the consciousness in people and say it amounts to X, and then you say, okay, now how does that stack up against the collective unconscious? Well, you know, imagine the tip of a massive, massive iceberg. What you see from your boat is just a fraction of what's under the water. So, you know, human conscious perception is only about 3 to 7% of our total consciousness, depending on whose study you read. But as a world culture, what's happened over time is that the ruling elite have organized pretty much every aspect of our lives, from the education systems to the media and entertainment systems to what science reveals or doesn't reveal, to what patented technologies are allowed to come forward or are confiscated by the ruling elite, to the military-industrial complex, to the banking system, to the chemical companies, the commercial farming. So they have the largest influence on the food systems, therefore what people eat, and they've filled that with chemicals to keep people drugged and dumbed down and unhealthy. So without going through every system, if you follow the money up, you get to smaller and smaller numbers of people who have the greatest and greatest influence over everybody. And they're what I call the kings and the queens, and they're the spellcasters. These people at the top hold the negative polarity. So consciousness can't function without a positive and a negative polarity. So there are always souls in the earth plane that are very negatively oriented. They're very greedy. They're very power hungry. They're very controlling, manipulative. And as long as you go through history, you'll find them in every generation, all the way back to the Sumerian tablets. So what's happened in our time, particularly in the last 100 years, it was going on forever, but in the last 100 years, as they've gotten more advanced technology and they've gotten more and more infiltration into governments and into the education system, into universities, you know, then you have Rockefeller, who pretty much founded the whole American Medical Association and then took the whole world over with chemical medicine and pretty much put a witch hunt out for anybody doing natural medicine or you know, treating cancer naturally. He got rid of as many of them as he could and still keeps pressure on that whole system. And so what I'm pointing to here is that in order to control people, you need to keep them as unconscious as possible, as busy as possible. And they set up a work system where people do largely what they don't want to do, but think they have to do to make money, which leads them to not feeling like they're living. So they come home and they have to drink alcohol and eat junk food and watch garbage television to start feeling alive, because they're so unhappy with the work that they're doing and the way they're living that they have to create a sort of a dimension shift. But many of them, of course, use legal drugs like alcohol, which are, you know, anything that's legal is not very good for you by design. If it's healthy for you, it's illegal. I mean, all you got to do is look, even Australia, my God, they've outlawed almost everything healthy. They've got control over vitamins and supplements. So they've pretty much made it illegal to be a healthy person to the very best of their abilities. So what this has done over time, and it got real significantly worse after the Second World War, is they've pushed humanity down into the state where, through programming by religion, programming through education, and programming through media, and programming through the military, that the whole world culture worships doctors and scientists as gods, and they all get their directives. These higher ups are getting their directives from the elite that are running this whole situation we've got going on in the world, whatever you want to call it. Plandemic is what I call it. But and so the result of that is we now have a world culture that actually hasn't evolved in their psychological growth and development. Research in psychology suggests that 90% of the world population has not evolved past the age of 12 psychologically. So we have a world full of children that don't think for themselves. We have an education system that teaches people what to think, not how to think or solve problems for themselves. We have an entire education and religious system that teaches everybody to defer to authority for direction on things. And so what happens is, when you get enough people like that that aren't growing spiritually, we have to call forth a crisis as an initiation process to force us into awakening to who we are, what we are, and what our responsibilities are to each other and the world. And so you end up seeing, if you study history, that you see these waves of trauma events like wars and crisis come, and then people go through it and they have to wake up and fight for what they believe in. And oftentimes the trauma or the stress of the environment pushes them much deeper into a spiritual practice or awakening. So the outcome is that people facing real challenges, threats, or death all of a sudden get spiritual and start really praying and connecting to source. And if you read The Law of One by Ra, the series, The Law of One series by Ra, they talk about how there's periods where souls are harvested, and that there is a given period of time for batches of souls on the earth. And the earth is really like a school. It's like a kindergarten for souls. And it's where you come to learn to work with the polarities that produce consciousness. And we come here because the earth plane is very, very material. We're tied up in material bodies. We're in, you know, the planet's made of rock. And it's built that way so that immature souls cannot destroy things too quickly and hurt other souls. In other words, when Hitler wanted to take over the world, he needed a million people and a lot of money, and it takes a lot of time to mass an army and build the equipment. It makes it hard for someone like that to do it without somebody else finding out and having a chance to balance the equation. So in the earth plane, the souls that are not that developed come here and they're tied up in matter so that they can work with the polarities of consciousness, which are either positive oriented toward love or negative oriented towards self accumulation, power, control, or what we would call evil. To live a moral is a principle that is life affirmative, but to be evil is a principle that is against life. So if you look at the word L-I-V-E and read it backwards, it's E-V-I-L. So I see evil as living backwards, and love inspires us to be moral and respect life and live forwards, metaphorically. But you can't have freedom without evil. You can't have consciousness without negativity and positivity, or you have no free will and you have no choice. If everything was just good all the time, then nobody would be conscious. And that's why the biblical story of Adam and Eve is so telling, because prior to eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they didn't even know they were naked. It was only once they ate from that tree that they went, oh my God, we're naked, and had even a concept of that. I mean, it's, of course, it's a myth, but all myths are actually telling of not only real events, but if you study Jung's work, Jung shows that most myths are actually revealing the unconscious processes that are at work within us and the universe. So myths are an attempt to express what people see when they look deep enough inside of themselves and then put character and story and word to it. So ultimately, what I'm driving at here is that we now have a world population that is not taking responsibility for itself. It's not taking responsibility for the destruction of nature that it's participating in with almost every purchase. It's not taking responsibility for its health. It's not taking responsibility for its own conscious spiritual development. So collectively, we draw a crisis in that expresses everything that we're afraid to look at because we don't want to have to deal with it. And Jung says something very profound. He says, the unconscious always meets you from the outside until you meet it from the inside. So what he's saying is that the events of your life are mirroring your unconscious creative powers to you. And as long as you keep running to doctors and therapists and politicians to fix the problems that we're creating instead of actually engaging them, then they will keep coming at you and produce pain for you to wake you up, because pain is the great quickener of consciousness. And in all native cultures, without many exceptions, they had initiation processes. So for the young men especially, because the women went through their initiation through the act of getting pregnant and giving birth, which is, you know, can kill a woman. So, and it's extremely painful, as you know. So they had to create initiation processes to get young boys to become men and to face death and be able to do what they have to do as a warrior to protect the tribe in times of need and to hunt and to sacrifice. The reason they had to do that is because if you're in a tribe where you have to hunt, fish, make things by hand and feed the family and tend to animals, and many tribes, as you know, were for the longest time nomadic, so you were constantly moving, which is a lot of work. So you could only carry so many children before the hunters and the warriors can't do all the work anymore. You can't hunt that much food, which is why most tribes started breaking down when they got above 55 to 57 people, based on the research that I've read, because there was just too many people to feed. You just suck. How many deer can you hunt every night? How many fish can you catch every day? And so we have now got to the point where we're sucking the life out of nature so fast, and we're not doing the work to regenerate the planet. We are not taking responsibility for our powers of choice or our powers of consciousness. We're not evolving past racism and sexism and petty, childish type ways of relating. And we have all these docile people now. We have the highest rates of addiction to almost every drug and everything you can imagine. We've got huge problems with addiction to social media, with gaming, with pornography. And all of these are symptoms of people that aren't actually living and engaging life and expressing their creative potentials and growing spiritually. We've got corporate religion, which just keeps people trapped in a very, very dangerous game of pseudo religion, which is ultimately just making a handful of people very rich. And there's tremendous ties between the political.
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.